I wanted to kind of, I guess, some old business just to start off with really quick here. Just some reaction from the what was a barely missed casino. We talked about this. You were in favor of that, but it was a tie vote, which puts it as a no. I assume you're a little disappointed.
Well, you know, I guess there's a couple things to think about. And this is how I explain it to everybody, because I know there's people on both sides of it. But anytime you advance some legislation to the legislature, so you get somebody to write a bill and introduce it, most of them die and they don't get any hearing at all. You know, that's just kind of the nature of the business. So in this case, we got a hearing. So I felt really good about that. And the fact that we came up with a tie makes me and the community should feel pretty good about it too, that we made a good presentation. I think we had a good community front. We were all on the same page with this and felt like it would be a positive thing, whether you agreed with the casino or not. We felt the benefits outweighed the negatives. And to get a hearing, that was a big deal. And then it ended up being a tie was a bit disappointing, because we thought we had the votes. You know, the senators that we talked to felt like they did. I think one senator kind of flipped at the end, who he was lobbied very heavily by someone. And I think a lot of it had to do with these other communities that just, they didn't want any impact on them. That was the biggest thing. And so at the end of the day, I think we benefited from a community effort to work together to try to get something for our community. We sent a great message to Indianapolis, and we'll see if it resurfaces in the future sometime. You know, I don't know if it will or it won't.
Yeah. I wanted to touch on what seems to be the hot topic now in Terre Haute. Vigo County Commissioners selected a few weeks ago the site of the former International Paper Mill. It's across from the Vigo Aquatic Center for the site of the new Vigo County Jail. And you've said many times on this show that a new jail is critical. You have to have a new jail. But some are not happy with the spot that was picked, saying that it's an area of economic development. What are your thoughts now that there's been a proposed site?
Well, in the beginning, when they proposed putting it at the industrial park, that was a concern for me and the police department, because it would require us, you know, a lot more time to drive all the way down to the industrial park to get to the jail. Over time, for a variety of reasons, they decided that wasn't the best place to put it and looked at some other options. They were all in the city, so I felt really good about that, that at least it would be in the city of Terre Haute. When they came up with that particular solution, I guess I wasn't surprised, because they own the property, but the public reaction has been pretty strong that two things. I think one, some are concerned about it being directly across the street from the Aquatic Center, but then there's others related to the riverfront development who would like to see it put somewhere else so that space could be left for some other type of purpose besides government use. So I understand those concerns, and I hear those things all the time as a member of Riverscape, and, you know, obviously as a leader of the community, you hear all these concerns and issues. You know, it's a tough place for the commissioners to be in. They want to move ahead with this. They want to get the plan rolled out and address it, because it's been going on for a very, very long time, and decisions need to be made. And so it seems like they're getting to the final parts of this. You know, I think they've decided on the location. I don't think they're going to change their mind on that, but I guess that remains to be seen. Pretty small window here. And then the second piece is how you pay for it. And so kind of some of the things you're hearing are people saying, well, you know, we don't want our taxes to go up. And I think everybody understands that, but you got to pay for almost a $70 million facility. So it's going to take some new revenue to do that. There's other concerns about maybe it should be a smaller jail and there ought to be some outpatient or mental health and addiction facilities, whether it's in the jail or co-located with the jail. And some of those discussions are going on. But I mean, it seems to be that the dust is beginning to settle and final decisions are being made. And I just support the fact that it's going to be in the city. That's my primary, that was the big deal from the beginning for us. And it seems like no matter what they decide on, it's going to be in the city.
So at least for now, the current proposal to have it there near the river, you're okay with
that? I mean, I can live with that. I don't think it's as bad as some make it out to be. And I only say that because I want the riverfront to develop too. But putting a $70 million jail there, and it's not going to look like a typical jail like we have now. And so I've already seen the renderings. I've seen what other jails and other communities look like. And I know that there's jails right next to brand new high schools in some places around Indianapolis. And so it can work. It's just, I think that more communication and more understanding of how they reach that decision would be helpful for a lot of people.
You touched on the other issue too, and that's the size. And there's been talk too, even in the Terre Haute Tribune Star today, there was an article about that perhaps the size is too big because of the way that assessments might change for the people who are in jail. And so is that something to think about too, that maybe it's just too big?
Maybe, but I don't have all that data. And I obviously, if it's one of our projects, I would know all those things. But what I do know is that when we arrest people and get them in jail, our crime goes down. And so the more people that are out running around or let out of jail because there isn't room for them, seem to be a petty criminal as an example, that concerns me. I'd rather have them in jail until they go through their process. The ones with mental illness and addictions, which is a significant portion of those folks, they do need additional support services. I support that fully. How we do it in the jail, once again, that comes back to the sheriff and the commissioners and the council. They all kind of need to make those decisions, but there's a lot of models to look out there of what works and what trends are and what we need to do here in Vigo County. And I believe they've looked at a lot of that, and they probably need to make some final tweaks before they make the final decision.
You were also counting on the it was 1.25 public safety tax, but that would be split between city and county, and would, in your case, I believe, free up a portion of the budget to help pay for public safety, which I think you were hoping to help work against the deficit.
Yeah.
But now even that's up for debate now.
It seems like it's kind of going the other direction. And I understand why the county council would want to do the minimum amount of an increase. I get that. We all do. But the problem is there's other factors coming down the road. There's additional revenue losses that face us, both in assessment of farm values that's going to kick in next year. The business personal property tax reduction is still on the table in Indianapolis, not for this session, but I think next year. So we all face additional losses down the road. And so what I think is important is if you're going to do this tax, let's plug in the right amount to cover the jail and pay for our public safety current costs. That's all we're looking to do. In the city's case, we'd be looking to pay for our 911 with the county, paying for our school resource officers and all of our Vigo County schools that are in the city, paying for our crossing guards. All those things are going to come first. Buying some police cars. It's not to make the budget bigger. It's to pay for existing things where we've lost money from that people want those services. So, I support that approach. What the number ends up being, right now I have no idea.
But this is more than just police. This is fire station.
Sure.
And there's also talk of more being done for headquarters too, downtown.
Yeah, there's a thing that's been coming up here recently about, that the city needs to build a new fire headquarters, and so we need to take that into consideration in this big scheme of things. That's not the case, and it's unfortunate that keeps being said when it's simply not true. We are going to do something where the fire station sits in about 12 years. It's part of our long-term control plan. We have to put an underground tank or a high-rate treatment facility there. We're not even sure what that final project will be. It would be one of a couple of options. But we have options of purchasing land next to it and putting those underground or above ground there. And the other worst case option is we will move that particular building. It's pole barn type construction. We'll take it down and we'll reestablish it on property we already own up by our training center. So there won't be any really cost to the taxpayer. It'll be minimal, probably a couple of $100,000 in about 12 or 13 years. So that's nothing to be worried about. And when it comes to the police station, that's another conversation that comes up. It's funded through the TIF district downtown and with edit funds. So it has nothing to really do with raising the tax rate to support those things, even though we could use some of those funds, which means if we were able to do that, I could spend more money out of edit to pave more streets. So there's a lot of benefits here by having some additional revenue.
And for some that may say, well, why are you looking at building a new jail and a new police station? Shouldn't that just all be one thing?
I have had a few people bring that up to me. It's really not going to save any money. We need roughly 28 to 30,000 square feet for a police station, very specific use. It's, pretty much office space and then a lot of space for evidence. The county's function is different. They've got the 911 centers, part of what they do. They are responsible for the courts. We have different duties and functions. And if you put them all in the same building, okay, you've done that, but they're gonna have to spend $68 million for jail, and we're gonna still have to spend about $8 million for a police station. So you're still adding those two numbers together. There's a few efficiencies of scale anytime you build one building versus two, but it's a minimal impact on the taxpayers.
So speaking of budget, I wanted to get in a little bit of that. I'm trying to keep it simple so it's easy to understand. I know it gets complicated, but the city at this time of the year usually borrows money to get through the budget year as the tax revenue starts to come in later. So the issue that came up is the interest rates for a loan went up from what was about 2% to could be anywhere from 4 to 7%. Is that correct?
Well, we don't know if that's correct. That was speculation by a consultant that somebody called. Had nothing to do with us as the city administration. We still believe that 4% is probably a good number. You know, we've got one number from a local bank that was less than 4%. So the council had a concern when it set a max of 8%, and they are the ones that changed it. I supported what they changed at the time because I wasn't going to get it passed, so I needed for it to be passed. And so we'll see. We're still working with the banks right now, so we don't have a final number and a final answer yet. But, you know, it's just it's the nature of the beast. Interest rates are beginning to go up, no question about that. But, you know, we did our homework, and we made sure that we knew what was going on out there. But things change every day. And so that homework was done back in January and February, and we're into March now. And so there is a changing market out there, but I'm not concerned about it at this point in time.
Okay, so where is the city right now?
On
the budget and being able to, pay what you need to pay.
Sure.
March, the end of the month.
Yeah, I want to remind people again, because that's where it kind of gets into the little tricky of understanding. For our general fund, which is about one third of our overall budget, about 80% of our income for the general fund comes in after June 15th. So we have to survive for those first, five and a half months with reserves and our pool of cash. And every community does, but we've been tightened because of the tax caps. And so we borrow that money internally, either through redevelopment and or a tax anticipation warrant. We're borrowing against the money that we're guaranteed to receive in December, so we can spread that out across the whole year instead of waiting till December to get money that we need to pay bills in December. And so it's a very common practice. I mean, there's nothing unique about it. Until we get reserves built up, we need to be able to do that internal borrowing. And so the TAW is an external borrowing, but we're borrowing against the funds that we're going to receive. So we're not going out and just borrowing money to pay bills. We're going out and we're taking an advance on our money that's coming in December. And the other is an interest cost of that. But then that lets us keep operations going normally throughout the year.
And you've done that already.
We've done it six times. So
right.
This isn't anything new and unique, and I'm hopeful in the next couple of years, if we get this public safety, local option income tax, or whatever else might come, we won't have to do that. But it's a very, very small price to pay to keep operations normal.
So as of today, you're set until how far?
Oh, probably sometime into April. So once we get the TAW locked in March, then we'll be fine and for the rest of the year. So it's just, it's that first part, the end of the first quarter until you get that tax disbursement in June, it's a little tight for us.
You know, I've been asking other mayors just about city ordinances and items that councils could be working on this year. Are there any notes or updates that the city is looking at this year?
Well, right now we're looking at this fire inspection fee, and it'll be in front of the council again this week, hopefully to get approved. Most communities already have a fee, and we want to go out and look at these commercial properties and make sure they're safe places for people to be. And there's a fee to that. There's a cost of us doing that. And so that's kind of a big one right now on the table. I think that we're going to look at some other fees down the road, not new fees, but updating some of ours, because some of them haven't been changed in 20 years. And so that's all I really see. Nothing significant, just kind of a review. You typically go through that every few years. And so I don't see anything huge right now. Nobody has brought anything to me, and the administration's not dreaming anything new up other than just kind of reviewing what we're doing today.
I've seen where now Uber is in Terre Haute.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to ask, just because we've seen this happen in other cities as Uber has come in and other businesses might be sparking some lawsuits over safety or licensing concerns. Is this something that you've looked at, or is it
a little bit
in Terre Haute?
I'm not really concerned about it, I guess, at this point. You know, our taxi services are required to file with us and have, there's an ordinance for that. you know, the Uber and the Lyft and those kind of things are a little bit different. They always seem to kind of work around the fringes, no matter where it's at. And so I think it'll be something that we'll have to update for our ordinances to reflect that kind of a service, because we want to make sure it's safe. And you know, I mean, that's the most important thing. It's great that people can go find a free ride, but you got to make sure that it's a safe environment for people to take advantage of.
And I hear there's a human rights program that is going on here in Terre Haute. Is that sponsored by the university?
Yes, it is, and the school corporation is a big part of that. Most of the students from the Villa County Schools and then students from Indiana State and elsewhere. It's really a big deal. I went and spoke this morning and did a greeting on behalf of the city, and you know, kind of looked over their agenda and saw a lot of very interesting topics, and I think it's just so important, especially with our youth. You know, you hear a lot of stuff in the media, it's not all good, and people get concerned about the way people are being treated or whatever. I really feel like Terre Haute is a great place, and we don't have a lot of complaints about people being mistreated in any way and treated differently, but we're far from perfect. We always have work to do, and it's good just to go and listen to outside speakers come in and tell their experiences in other communities. It kind of opens our eyes about things we can do or questions we should ask, groups to reach out to make sure we're getting, you know, that good communication back and forth. And it was just good to see all those students in there, those young kids who are kind of pretty impressionable at this age. They're interested, but they don't understand everything. And to be able to have this quality of speakers to come in all day and just talk to them about a variety of things and how as an individual you could make a difference. You know, you can reach out to somebody who's different than you, treat them with respect, be a friend to them, whatever, and how much better the world would be if you would just do that.